This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Copy of God's Word and turn it to Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 8 to verse number 20, and then we're going to do something together here as a church. Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 down to verse number 20. We're in a current series called Heaven's Gifts. We're entitling A Humble Birth on a Holy Night, and today I want to talk about Let Us Adore Him. And we find our reading today in Luke chapter number 2 of the Christmas story, verses 8 down to verse 20. So if you're there, say amen. Here's what the Bible says. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now even go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass that the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and all the things that they had seen as it was told unto them. I'm going to have you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And today I want to talk about the subject, Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I pray that you lead us and guide us and direct us here in the next few moments, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we will thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, for it's in the lovely name of Jesus. The name that's above every single name. Lord, it's at your wonderful name today that we pray and we exalt and we cry out to. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, one of my favorite songs during the Christmas season is a song entitled, O Come All Ye Faithful. It was first made popular by the Catholic Church. And then later on, as the years went on, there were Protestant groups that began to pick it up and to sing it also. However, if you look at the song, it has been translated into over 100 languages, and it's one of the songs of the season that is sung around the world today. This morning in our early service, Lisa Walters came up and sang this song for us today, and so I thought it'd be good for all of us to stand just for a moment, stretch your legs for a moment, and I want us to sing this wonderful chorus that Butch is going to lead us in. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumph. Come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's sing together.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Oh, come, let us adore.
pretty good. Give us a key. Let's sing the chorus a cappella, all right? I want to hear you sing now. Oh, come, let us adore him. Butch, you lead us. Here we go.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As I said, this is one of my favorite hymns during the time of the year. It reminds us what we are called to do. We are to adore Christ. And it seems like that at this time of the year, there are a lot of churches that will gather together like us, and we talk about and we sing about adoring Christ. But the sad reality is, much of the world today is ignoring Christ instead of adoring Christ. I was thinking about a story that comes from, a fascinating story that comes out of the pages of our American history that actually illustrates how people miss the meaning and they miss the message of the good news. And it's a story right out of the pages of our American history. The date was December 17th, 1903. The place was Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The Wright brothers had just made a history by keeping their flying machine in the air for a total of 59 seconds. So overjoyed by what just happened, they rushed down to the local mail station where they wired the good news to their sister who lived in Dayton, Ohio. And here's what the telegram had to say. It said, first flight sustained today for 59 seconds. Hope to be home by Christmas. Their sister was so thrilled at the accomplishment of these two brothers that she hurried down to the local newspaper with the wonderful news. And she reported it to them. Sure enough, the very next day, there was an article that was written about the Wright brothers in the Dayton Daily News. And this was the headline of the newspaper that day. Local bicycle merchants to be home for the holidays. The newspaper missed the story. They missed the good news. They missed the wonder of it. The article had some details, but they missed the wonder of what took place. They talked about some incidentals, but they never even mentioned the wonderful flight of an airplane riding through the sky for 59 seconds. You know, the story to me illustrates basically what's happening in our world today. We give a lot of the details of Christmas, and we talk about the details of Christmas, but we ignore the joyful message. We speak about the incidentals of Christmas, but we neglect the defining feature and the defining figure that would literally change the course of human history. We talk more about presents, and we talk more about tinsel and toys, cookies and carols, and other things besides this one defining moment, this defining figure that would change all of human history. Of course, those of us that are believers of Jesus Christ, we know who that defining figure is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Do you know when we talk about the name of Jesus, if you'll do a survey of scripture, you will find that there are hundreds, literally hundreds of names that depict the name Jesus in the Bible. I did some study this week and found that the name Jesus, he's called Jesus by name 625 times in the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 625 times you'll find the name Jesus. In the New Testament alone, the name Jesus appears over 983 times and 942 verses. Based upon those staggering figures, we can safely say today that the name of Jesus is the most endearing and loved name for the Savior. And so what I want to do today is I want to unpack the significance of the name Jesus. Why is it so important to us? Why do we say, come and let us adore him? You may not know this, but did you realize that the name Jesus was not given to him by his parents? One of the privileges we have as parents is we get to name our kids. Mine was Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and No Mo. Say amen. All right? Maybe Mo, Larry, and Curly, more like it. But we had the privilege of naming our children. You had the privilege of naming your children. But Joseph and Mary did not have that privilege of naming their son. The Bible teaches us that Mary did not name him, Joseph did not name him, but God himself is going to name him. And that's going to be very important. We're going to learn why God chose to name Jesus himself. You know, people who hear the gospel and they respond positively to the name of Jesus Christ, they understand that we are called to call upon the name of Jesus for salvation. That's how important that name is. We call upon his wonderful name, Acts chapter number 2. We are to place our faith in Jesus' name. We are justified in Jesus' name. The Bible teaches us we are forgiven in the very name of Jesus. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. We have spiritual life through the name of Jesus. Believers are called to glorify the very name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are to give thanks for and do everything in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus Christ. You know, back in history, there was a man who was a figure of the Second Crusade, a very popular individual by the name of Bernard. And he wrote this about Jesus. He said, "The name Jesus is not only light, but it is food. It is honey in the mouth, a melody in the ear, and joy in the heart. It has healing power. Every discussion where his name is not heard, he said, is pointless." It was John Newton who wrote that beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, that we all love to sing. He penned the words, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears." He's talking about the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. You may not have heard of this individual. He was a hymn writer from the 8th century. His name was Cosmas. And in this hymn that he wrote, he penned, "Christ is born, tell forth his fame. Christ from heaven, his love proclaim. Christ on earth, exalt his name. Sing to the Lord, O world, with exaltation. Break forth in glad thanksgiving every nation, for he has triumphed gloriously." I want you to know, we ought to celebrate and we ought to worship the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, mountains are moved. At the name of Jesus, demons begin to tremble. At the name of Jesus, there is healing and there is power and there is restoration. And we have gathered together here on this wonderful Lord's Day to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Amen. As I said earlier, Mary and Joseph did not have the privilege of naming their son. We know he's the son of God, not the son of Joseph, but you understand what I'm saying. They didn't have the opportunity to name him. This would be God's prerogative in naming this child that was going to be born. And the reason why is the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. In his very name, God is telling us and proclaiming the missional mandate that Jesus saves. You'll not find salvation in the church. You're not going to find it in some ritual or some type of rite. The Bible says there is salvation in one, and that is Jesus Christ. There are not many Jesuses. There is one that brings salvation. His name means Jehovah saves. And so this morning, I want to unpack the name of Jesus. I want us to look at this wonderful name that we are to exalt. When we press it off of our lips, when we talk about it within our heart, when we sing about it in words, how it ought to impact and affect our lives. First of all, if you're taking notes with us this morning, and if you're not, you can find it on our church app. If you'll download our church app, all the notes will be on our church app and you can follow along. Here's point number one. Let's talk about the name of Jesus. Jesus is an esteemed name. Jesus is an esteemed name. Now, the name Jesus is the Old Testament equivalent of Joshua. Joshua. When you study the life of Joshua, you'll find that Joshua was a very unique individual. He would be the successor of Moses, and he would be the man that would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He would be the individual that would conquer the Canaan conquest. He would help the children of Israel to possess their possession and face the giants that are in the land and overcome them and bring them into the inheritance and into the blessing and into the favor of God. But here's what's interesting about this man by the name of Joshua. Nobody in the Old Testament named their child Joshua until Moses did something unique found in Numbers chapter number 13. You read the narrative there in Numbers chapter number 13, and Moses has selected some people to go out and spy out the land to see what's going to happen so they can have a military plan, a plan of conquest to enter into the promised land. And so some spies are selected, and one of those individuals has a very unique name. It's found in Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua." For the very first time, his name is mentioned in Scripture. Hoshea is known as Jehoshua. Hoshea receives a brand new name. His name means Jehovah saves. Perhaps through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God has revealed to Moses that it's not going to be Moses that will lead them on into the promised land. There will be a successor. God, through his power and his provision and his might, sovereignly selects Joshua. And Moses calls Hoshea, the son of Nun, and says, "Your name shall be called Jehoshua." That is, Jehovah saves. You will be the one that will lead the people into the promised land. You will be the one that will help them to conquer their Canaan and to possess their possessions. Bible scholars all around the world point that Joshua is an Old Testament picture of the New Testament Jesus. For example, they would say about Joshua, he led Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. When you look at our Savior today, Jesus, he leads us out of the wilderness of sin and into the spiritual promised land of eternal life and blessing and favor. You think about Joshua, he led the people to be victorious over their enemies and to fight against their giants. We look at Jesus today and he delivers us from our enemies. There are giants that all of us face within our lives. Some of you are facing a giant of fear. Some of you are facing a giant of guilt. There are others that are facing a giant of temptation or a giant of trial. How about even a giant of testing? These giants stand in our way in reaching our promised land. These giants impede us. They're an impediment in front of us and we can't get to where God wants us to be. And God sends us a Joshua. God sends us a Savior. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he delivers us and defeats our giants and helps us to move into the promise and the blessing of Almighty God. Joshua led the people into their promised inheritance. And Jesus, through the power and the operation of the Holy Spirit in my life and your life, he is leading us into our promised inheritance. And so when you read about Joshua, it depicts a Savior that is to come. Jesus' name is so esteemed. It's a wonderful name. After the conquest of Joshua, there would be many people that would want to name their sons Joshua. It was a title of honor. It was a title that was esteemed. It was a name recognized in the history of Israel. God, out of all of the names that he could have chosen, he said, "We're going to call his name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins." No matter how intrigued and how esteemed Joshua is, we all know that Jesus transcends anything that Joshua can do. If you believe that, say amen, right? Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 8. I want to show you something, and hopefully we have it on the screens, and we do. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 8. The Bible says here, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day." I don't know if that's on the screen or not, but it's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 11. Here's what's unique about the verse. The Bible translators use the name Jesus in the text. Now remember, I told you that the name Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua. Here in this text, it really should be rendered Joshua and not Jesus. The translators are using the Greek translation of the word. And so here's what he's saying. "For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day?" Basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying this. If Joshua could have given them total and complete victory, there would be no need for Jesus. Joshua could only give them a temporary rest. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the New Testament Joshua, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't give us a temporary rest. He gives us an eternal rest. That's why his name is so esteemed. That's why we sing about him. That's why we write about him. That's why the poets have written about him and the singers sing about him. It's a name that's above every name, and he deserves honor and glory and praise. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to his name. Jesus is not only an esteemed name, but Jesus is also an enduring name. His name was given around 2,000 years ago, but yet that name still lives on in the hearts of many individuals. You know, I've been around the globe. I've been a lot of different places. I've been to Costa Rica. I have been to the Dominican Republic. I have been in Grenada. I have preached also in the country of Colombia. I've been in Wales and London. I've been in Israel and many other places around the United States. And everywhere I go, I find that there are individuals that know the wonderful, esteemed, and enduring name of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that there's some folks in here that knows his name. Not only do you know his name, but you know him personally and intimately. He lives within your heart. You know that he's the Savior of the world. And you've come here today for one reason: not to show off your fancy shoes, not to show off your fancy clothes, not to show off who you are or what you can do. You ought to be here today to give him praise and honor and glory because of his enduring, lasting name. Somebody say amen. I love what an anonymous writer had wrote many, many years ago. I don't know who it is, but his words are so accurate when it comes to the enduring name of Christ. Here's what he said. In infancy, he startled the kings. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if on pavement, and hushed the seas to sleep. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the country could never hold the books that had been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme of more songs than all songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of his many students. Though time has spread many years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King, our God. Somebody say amen. He is writing about the enduring name of Jesus Christ. You know, God inspired the scriptures that Jesus might be shown. God sent his Spirit so that Jesus might be known. But God sent his Son to die on an old rugged cross that Christ could bring us home. I want you to know, friend, he is more than just a humanitarian. He is more than just a prophet, a king, or a priest. He may be all of that, but he is much, much more. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of glory. He is the King of heaven. He is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. And the Bible teaches us he guards us, and hallelujah, he guides us. It teaches us that he heals us, and he helps us. He feeds us, and he leads us. He enables us and equips us. Hey, and he gives us rest, and he has given us his very best. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the enduring name of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees could not stop him. Pilate could not find fault with him. Herod could not kill him. Death could not handle him. And hallelujah, the grave could not hold him. Up from the grave he arose. The enduring name of Jesus. Paul writes about his enduring name in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 down to verse number 11. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Paul says even, he stresses this, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of Calvary, because of Calvary's cross, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Listen now, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm talking about the enduring name of Christ. You may be here this morning and you've not bowed your knee as of yet. Maybe you're here and you've been invited by a friend or maybe by some family. You've never bowed your knee to the sovereign authority of Jesus Christ in your life. You do not recognize him. You may recognize him as a savior, but you certainly do not recognize him as the sovereign Lord. That is, he is the pillow that you can lay your head down in. He's the rest that you can find and the comfort that you need. But when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to service, when it comes to your obedience, you don't recognize him as the sovereign Lord of your life. I want you to know, friend, you can't have both. He's not savior or sovereign. He is the sovereign savior. Somebody say amen. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Prince of heaven. He is the savior of the world. And he demands our obedience unto him. When we trust him as our Lord and our Savior, it's not an option that we serve him or not serve him. That church and a relationship with Christ is not just a Sunday to Sunday thing. It is a lifetime experience that every day that I live, that every moment that I breathe, I'm to be walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you today, do you know him? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're born again? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die and die today or die tomorrow or the end of this week, if you were to die, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven? Do you know that you will stand before God? Or, friend, will you split hell wide open? You see, God's not going to send people to hell or send people to heaven. You decide that by either receiving Jesus Christ or rejecting him. And my prayer for you today is that you will receive him. My prayer is for you today that you will not turn away and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do not bow today, there's coming a day that you will bow. Somebody says, I won't bow. I'll appeal to a higher authority. There is no higher authority. The Bible says, I've given him a name above every single name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, and we will call him the Lord, the Prince of glory, to the glory of God the Father. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the enduring, esteemed name of Jesus Christ. Not only is his name esteemed as Jehovah saves, not only is it enduring, but also his name is exalted. The writer, again, Paul, there in Philippians, says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't see this as a negative thing. I see that as a positive thing. I think about just a few moments ago when we were singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." Can you imagine being in heaven and we are robed in white and we begin to sing a song that the angels cannot sing? We have received our rewards. We have been reunited with our loved ones that are awaiting us on the other side. And can you just imagine for just a moment what that moment is going to be like when together the bride of Christ, the raptured bride of Christ, reunites with all of those saints who have fought the fight. They finished their course and they've been waiting on the other side. When we are reunited with him at that moment and we humbly bow before our Lord and Savior because of his esteemed and his enduring and his exalted name, can you imagine how heaven must be? The Bible says that John, when he heard this, he said it sounded like thunder in heaven. It sounded like lightning in heaven. I want you to know that heaven's going to be loud. It's going to be loud. Now, for those of you that think that heaven's going to be more Presbyterian-like, I guess, where it may be a little more quiet and a little more relaxed and a little more meditation, I think heaven's going to be a little wild. I really do. I think heaven's going to be fantastic, where we're clapping our hands. We may even dance a little bit. I was born to boogie, so I'm waiting to go to heaven. If I find out that dancing was a sin down here, I'm going to be mad when I get to heaven. I can't dance. I'm just kidding. I can play the music, but I can't dance. But we We might dance a little bit while we're in heaven. We're going to sing while we're in heaven. We may clap our hands while we're in heaven. I know this, it's going to be loud. It's going to be energetic. Why? Because there is a name there that we're going to exalt. Not just a name, but the person that has the name and bears the name. His name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. What a wonderful, glorious moment that's going to be. Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to verse 23. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Listen to this. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Nobody will ever have the name of Jesus. There may be a lot of celebrities that are there. There could be a lot of iconic individuals that will be there. But there's one name that will outshine them all. Have you ever been in a situation where you ran into a celebrity and you're so excited about it, you want them to sign a picture or you want their autograph? Sometimes preachers or evangelists will come in here and people will bring their Bible up there and they want the evangelist or the preacher maybe to sign their Bible. And there's a lot of neat people that we've seen. We want their name. You know, we want to be with them. Well, the Bible says, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which has come. There'll be nobody, no name will outshine the name of Jesus. No name will be brighter than the name of Jesus. No name will be exalted more than the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, and hath put all things under his feet. I want you to know, friend, if it is under his feet, it is under his control. You need to know today that your sins are under his feet. Your problems are under his feet. If it's under his feet, hallelujah, it is under his control. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. What are we talking about? We're talking about the exalted name of Jesus. Daniel writes about this name. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to verse 14. If you're still with me, say amen. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before me. And there was given him, listen to this now, it's powerful, dominion, glory, a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. Listen now, his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We're talking about a wonderful individual here, and you and I know him as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. His name is not only exalted, his name is not only enduring, his name is not only esteemed. But last of all, and I'll give you my favorite line of the sermon, Curtis, come to the piano for the invitation. The very last point, Jesus is an exclusive name. Jesus' name is an exclusive name. When we read the narrative of Luke chapter number 2, which is the Christmas story, we find that the angel told Joseph the very reason for Jesus' name. Out of all the names that God could have picked, he decides and focuses on this one name, this Old Testament name, Joshua. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what is it? Say it with me. Jesus. Why, God? For he shall save his people from their sins. I'm talking about an exclusive name here. Why do I say exclusive? Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me ask you, friend, do you know him today? Do you know him? You might know some details of the Christmas story, some incidentals of the Christmas story, but maybe like that Dayton, Ohio newspaper, you have missed the big main attraction. You missed the big headline. You missed the joyful news. You missed the good news. It's not about shepherds. It's not about wise men. It's not about Bethlehem or even a star. It's about a baby and a baby's cry. And that baby's cry was the cry of redemption and hope that God has drawn near, that God has invaded our planet, that the dust of the earth fell upon his feet. He walked among us. He sung among us. He sang with his disciples. Did you know that? He sang. He taught. His message, his miracles, all of it pointed to one essential truth. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is the one that saves. If you're putting your faith in religion, religion will fail you. If you're putting your faith in a ritual will fail you. But Christ will never, ever fail you. There's only one way that a man or a woman or a boy and girl is going to heaven. And that is by faith in Christ. And as the Reformer said, Christ alone. It's not within the church. The church cannot save you. I cannot save you. The deacons cannot save you. Only Christ can save you. That's why his name is so wonderful today. It's an esteemed name. It's an exalted name. It's an enduring name. It's all of that, an everlasting name and much, much more. Do you know him? Is my prayer. If you don't, friend, our pastors will be here. I will be here. We will pray with you this morning. And you can leave this place knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.